Good afternoon, and welcome to Food for Thought on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Gretchen Gondek. Back in studio is Dawn Snyder, who is Director of Education at the Dorothy Pico Nature Center here in Sioux City. Hi there, Dawn.
Hello.
It's spring, and in fact, we're having, well, sort of an early spring this year, so I thought it would be timely to visit a little bit about, well, morel mushrooms and some of the other edible plants that are indigenous to our area and edible.
Well, you know, food is a great topic, and morel mushrooms, there is talk of them coming soon. Basically, when spring is rounding the corner, the main thing that will, I guess, get the morels to start is temperature. And not just the temperature of the air, but the soil particularly. So when the soil temperature is about 55 degrees, 4 inches below the surface, is when they'll start emerging. And I just saw a report online that 5 hours south of Des Moines, they're having morel mushrooms already. So somewhere in Missouri. So they're coming. It's getting closer. I also saw a report that in southern Iowa, the soil temperature was 52 degrees. So it's getting closer. So with that time frame of the soil temperature being the perfect temperature, and when it gets to about 62 degrees warmth, then you're getting the end of the morel season. So there's a short window. Of course, we need some moisture. And it's nice to have those sunny days as well, not just for the mushrooms, but for us to go out and enjoy and look for them.
Well, we Iowans love to complain about winter, but I have to say it was not a bad winter. We had a couple rounds of significant precipitation, but we didn't have any of that horrible, bitterly cold weather.
No, we did not. So that was a good break for us. And things are starting to green up early. Obviously, the birds are migrating earlier. We have seen a lot of new a lot of species that we don't typically see yet this time of year that are already through or coming through. So,
For example,
the snow geese, and we're seeing the white pelicans are coming through now, and the red-winged blackbirds were a little early as well. So they'll be just continuing. We're seeing bluebirds at the Dorothy Pico Nature Center. Of course, sometimes they'll stick around in the wintertime, but we haven't seen any until now at the center. So there's lots of good signs of spring.
Well, you mentioned the soil temperatures. Will birds be doing the nesting? I mean, will that be ahead of schedule as well?
Potentially. The earliest nesters in Iowa are the great horned owls, and they're well on the way to have their young being born soon, because they start laying their eggs and incubating them in late January, early February.
Didn't know that.
So they sit on their eggs when it's pretty chilly out.
Wow.
And I just, if you ever follow the Decora Eagles and the Eagle Cam there, they just had their first couple of eggs laid. So things are progressing that way. But sandhill cranes are in full migration just to the south of us and east of us in Grand Island and Kearney area. So lots of great things to see out there. But getting back to the plants, morel season for us will probably be towards the mid to end of April is when we'll start seeing them, depending on the temperature. And they are tricky to find. I would advise you to wear some good walking shoes and maybe carry a walking stick or cane so you can move the brush around and help you get a better viewpoint of the little creatures or the little morels growing. Oftentimes, if you look and find dead elm trees somewhere within 15-foot radius of that tree is a good place to start looking for morels. That being said, it's not the only space or place that you will find them. The spores for those little mushrooms, they take about 5 years to mature and really have them come above the ground. So it depends on lots of different conditions. And your favorite hunting spot might have kind of waned over the years. Maybe in a few more years, check back again and they'll be there. It's just hard to say. Here in Woodbury County, along the Missouri River, a lot of people find them on the sandy river bottoms, and those are usually the first ones that'll start will be in the river bottoms. Usually the early morels are kind of a grayish color, a darker color. And then as the season progresses, you'll see the blondies or the yellowish-colored ones. But always, always be sure that you have the right mushroom that you're before you consume them. And morel mushrooms are pretty simple to identify in the fact that they kind of look like a sponge, and they have a lot of the interesting cap. But if you slice it in half, it's entirely hollow from the tip of the stem all the way up to the top of the cap. There'll be no cottony filaments inside of it. There'll be no tissue inside of it. It'll just be hollow. So always keep that in mind. And if you're not sure, then certainly do not consume it.
Is there a mushroom that replicates the morel?
Yes, there is. It's called a false morel. And the false morels, I have not seen one myself, but they can be found in this region. And if you slice that in half, you will see kind of a cottony material in the stem, and the cap does not go all the way hollow up to the top. So those are good things to look for. It also, the cap of the mushroom looks more like wavy instead of indented pores like on the morel. So good things to keep in mind, and there's, you know, great field guides online or in the bookstores too for you to help you discern which mushrooms there are that out there that are edible.
And something else that you mentioned, the mushroom is a spore, and you don't want to take all of the mushrooms because then it reduces the chances for proliferation.
Yes, that's true. And another thing to keep in mind is the bag or whatever you're going to be gathering them in. It's nice to use maybe a mesh bag so the spores can drop out, or even a paper bag. Paper bags are better than plastic anytime because plastic's going to encourage decomposition faster, and you don't want to, you know, mushrooms are a fungus and they do decay and make things break down, but you don't want to have a rotten mushroom before you get a chance to eat it.
No, after all that work.
After all that work, you finally find them. But so maybe a mesh bag or even a paper bag. And when I get my morels home, I will wash them, slice them in half and wash them, soak them in water for several hours. Make sure they look okay and get the bugs and the dirt and the sand out of them. And then you can just kind of rinse the water off of those. And I always pour the water outside hoping that those morels will grow out in my yard someday. But so far, none have done so. Not at my current home, but where I grew up, we had morels in our backyard every once in a while. It was really strange, but it was always awesome to find.
You know what else I'm thinking about today are those wonderful stuffed grape leaves. I know the Greek ladies say the best time to get out is early spring while the leaves are still very supple.
Yes.
For their dolmades that they make.
Those are delicious. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, we have a lot of wild grapes in our woodlands and along the roadsides. Always caution if you're going to harvest anything along the roadside to make sure that you're aware if it's been sprayed or not, because you don't want to, and always, of course, wash it as well. But those young grape leaves that are just emerging are really very delicious. And the tendrils, you can pick the tendrils and just eat them like a little snack.
What else is out there that we might want to think about eating?
Well, you can take a salad hike as things emerge in the springtime, as you were saying, when they're young and tender and supple. You can harvest dandelions, and I'm not a huge fan of dandelion greens, but the best time to pick them and harvest them would be in early spring before they kind of build up if you pick a dandelion flower, you'll see a milky substance exuding from that stem, and that kind of is a latex that is bitter tasting. So the longer the plant matures, the more bitterness will develop in that plant. So you'll want to get them when they're younger, or you'll want to boil them and change the water and boil them again, so you'll kind of leach that bitter taste out of them. But you can pick the dandelion flowers and make dandelion flower fritters. You can dip them in egg and cracker crumbs, and then, you know, fry them in butter. Anything's good in butter.
True.
Not as good as morel mushroom, but, you know, the dandelion fritters are pretty good. That's kind of a funny story. That's how I landed. One of the reasons, or one of the things I did when I had to interview here many years ago, 28, 29 years ago, is I had to talk about edible plants, and I prepared dandelion fritters for the interview committee. And none of them died, and they hired me. No.
Best thing they ever did, Dawn.
It's been great to be here. But so that's one you can get early on. You can also get violet leaves and violet flowers, make some violet jelly. That's something my sister does every year as a tradition. You have to pick a lot of the flower blossoms. A cupful of the blossoms, in fact. That's a lot of violets.
And must be beautiful
to
look at.
It is beautiful. It's a beautiful, depending on the richness of the violets. She's had some that are very pale lavender, some that are just amazingly fuchsia pink color. It's really nice. So it's a nice light little jelly that's kind of a fun thing to make. So those are a few things that you can start looking for. Even a lot of people probably don't like to think about this, but about eating it anyway, is nettles. And we have woodland nettles and stinging nettles, and when their leaves are very young and tender, and you pick them carefully so the little hairs on them don't sting you, you can eat that as raw as a salad. It kind of has a cucumber flavor,
really?
I think, peppery kind of cucumber. Or I've made nettle soup, nettle fettuccine, lots of different things that way. When Chef Paul was here, we did a couple of wild edible plant programs at the Nature Center, and he put, of course, his great culinary flair towards that, and I was the one that helped identify the plants and get them harvested and make sure they were prepared correctly, and he made them into an amazing feast.
Well, I think you'd only be limited by the boundaries of your imagination when it comes to that.
That's true, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, Dawn, if people have questions or need more information, can they contact you?
Oh, absolutely. We are at the Dorothy Pico Nature Center, and our number is 712-258-0838. Or you can go on our website and learn more about other fun programs that we offer at woodburyparks.org.
Dawn, it's always a delight to see you. Thank you so much for coming out for Food for Thought today.
Absolutely. Thanks for all you do.
And we've been in dialogue with Dawn Snyder, who is Director of Education at the Dorothy Pico Nature Center. I'm Gretchen Gondek on Food for Thought today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and have a great weekend.